Welcome everyone to a new series. As we start every series, we read this disclaimer in the beginning. The material that we will be discussing is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide any legal or halachic advice or opinion. This is not a substitute to obtain competent halachic and legal advice from your rav and or lawyer, and consequently you should not act on the basis of the shiurim without such advice. So now we're protected for this year. And we're going to start with the halachas of Nizkei Shcheinim. Like this shiur should be a zchus Rufu Shlema for Mindom Yoyim Bas Reizel, a relative of one of our shiur goers, should have a Rufu Shlema. These are like emotional topics. These questions between neighbors, they get into arguments all the time, and it's your fault, it's my fault, it's your responsibility, my responsibility. And hopefully when we do one case at a time, like we always do, we'll see that it's not so complicated and the halachas are possible to know and master. I hope so. I don't have them yet. Hopefully the course of the year we'll have them mastered, and we can solve all problems that come up. As usual, there are many, many svarim on each topic in Choshen Mishpat. We'll be using a lot. This Mishkan Shalom is just on the halachas of Nizkei Shcheinim, just on the halachas of neighborly relations. There's this one, Darkei Mishpat, just came out a couple years ago, also on Shcheinim. There I have a half a dozen svarim that are just this size on Shcheinim, on neighbors, so it's not an uncommon topic. A lot of the shailas pertain only in Eretz Yisrael, or mainly in Eretz Yisrael, where you have a lot of people living in one building, and there you have who's responsible to fix the roof, who's responsible to pay for the guard or for exterminators. So that we won't get into that much over here. In America, we just have that relevant to condominiums. Some are related to apartments. But we'll be dealing with mainly two areas of halacha. The first one we'll be dealing with is nizkei shcheinim, the damages that can occur between two neighbors. What can I do in my backyard or in my house in a way that might impinge on my neighbor's yard, it might hurt him somehow? What am I allowed to do? What am I not allowed to do? That's one section. That's what we'll be dealing with, the first good bulk of the series. Then there are other issues called Tashmishei Chatzeru, where I don't want to damage his yard, but I want to use his yard. I want to cut across it. I want to park in front of it. I want to have a contractor come into my yard to fix my house, but he needs to go into next door's property to put the crane up. I won't damage the neighbor, but I'm using that neighbor's yard. So that's going to be the second half of this series later on. The first half is mainly in Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat, Simen Kuf Nun Hei. The next one is in Kuf Nun Dalet. I think it's easier to start with Kuf Nun Hei, and we'll be starting with these halachas called Nizkei Shcheinim, potential damage for neighbors. The first case we'll deal with, had an email, I had two different cases. The first more common case is a tree. I have a tree that overhangs over someone's yard, or even if it doesn't overhang, but the leaves every year fall down into that neighbor's yard, and they make a big mess. He has to either spend hours cleaning them up, or he hires someone to clean them up. So the question is, can he either demand me to cut off the branches that are leaning over the yard so the leaves won't fall there, or cut down the trees so the leaves won't fall there, or can he at least bill me or force me to clean up his yard? That's the one question, which is very common. And second question, which someone just told me about last night, happened to his nephew in Lakewood, that his nephew wanted to build a sukkah in his house, the area that he had available for the sukkah, but there was a branch from the neighbor hanging over the porch, and because of that he couldn't build the sukkah over there. Can he force that neighbor to cut down the branches? And if he can't force the neighbor to cut the branches, can he cut down the branches? Can the neighbor say, you can't touch my tree, you're going to hurt my tree if you cut down the branch, it'll weaken the tree? Right, those are the two shayos we'll deal with tonight, and they really have the same halacha, and we'll see clearly what the halachas in such cases are. So we start with the Mishnah in Bava Basra Chatei on the days. A lot of what we'll be talking about is in the second parak of Bava Basra, parak Lo Yachpar. The Mishnah says, Marchikin Esel Ilan Min Habar Esim V'Chamish Amah. If your neighbor has a well and you want to build, plant a tree, the Tanakhama, the Mishnah says, you have to make sure you're 25 amas away from that well. Uvacharu V'Shikma, if it's a carob tree you want to plant, or a sycamore tree, Chamishim Amah, you have to say 50 amas away. Bein milamayel, bein minatzad, it doesn't matter if you're above the pit or you're below it. Either way, you have to stay that distance depending on the tree, because the logic is, if you plant the tree, the roots travel, and the roots will travel and ruin that well, and you have no right to damage your neighbor's well. Now we have a shayla. What came first? In habar kadma, if the well was first, kosev in asin danim, you have to cut down the tree, and your neighbor will pay you for the loss. Ilan kadim, if your tree came first, then lo yakus, you don't have to cut it down. Safik zed kadim is safik. Zed kadim is a safik, whether which one came first, lo yakus, you don't have to cut it. I'll read that fast because we don't pass on like any of this. We pass on like the following manda amar. Rav Yossi says, Afal pish habar kodemis lo ilan, even if the well came before the tree, lo yakus, you don't have to cut it down. Why? Shezed chofer besok shalo, just like this person is allowed to dig a well in his property, I'm allowed to plant a tree in my property. I'm allowed to do whatever I want in my property, and I don't care that it goes and damages your property. And the halacha says, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rav Yosi, partially k'Rav Yosi. The Gemara elsewhere says, this is the concept of a nizik laharchik es atmo. If you have a dispute between a neighbor who's being mazik, who's damaging someone, and the nizik, the person being damaged, it's the nizik, it's up, incumbent upon the nizik, the person being damaged, to remove himself out of potential damage. Because I have the right to do whatever I want in my yard. If I'm damaging you, it's your responsibility to avoid that possible damage. Well, let's see the way the Shulchan Aruch puts it. Siflamid Beis, Kufnun Hei Siflamid Beis, on the other side of the handout. Misha Hoya, Lo Ilan Besok Sadei, if someone had a tree inside his own field, Karav Lavar Chaveiro, close to his friend's well, Ein Bal Habar Yachal Akev Alav, the owner of the well cannot prevent him from having that tree. Belamerlan say, Harei Shirashal Ha'ilan Yichnasin Lavar Shali, the roots are going into my well, on the other side. Umafsir Nosi, and it's causing you a loss. Why? I'm not going, right? We have a din. I'm not allowed to be mazik. My ox can't go and gore your ox. I can't go and throw stones at your car. But here, I didn't do anything. I planted a tree. And the nesa came on its own. Lachazman, the roots grew afterwards. Uveisha nata, when I planted the tree in a mazika, there was no hesek there at all. Just like the Mishnah said, just like you have the right to dig a well in your house, kasa not to have a sof shalo, I have a right to dig, to plant a tree in my house. Now when we see this, it does rankle us a little bit. Why should I have a right to do something that damages you? Right, we have all these rules of Arbav and Nezikin. I can't damage you, and I can't even cause a damage to you. The Grum of the Nezikin is also Aser. You can't bill me like we learned, but I'm not allowed to do something that will cause a damage to you. That's halacha all over Shas. I'm not allowed to cause a damage to you, even if I don't do it directly. So why over here are we allowing you to plant a tree when you know it's just a matter of time before it's going to go ruin that person's well, even though the well's there already? Right? We possibly go to Yossi, even though the well was there first, you can put your tree, plant your tree, and it's only a matter of time. They'll tell you 3 years, the roots are already going to grow and ruin that well. And the loch is, you say, look, you took your well in your yard, I put my tree in my yard, and it's just tough that it's going to ruin you. So it's what's this svara? Why should this be different than any other case of a damage? So Nasiba says a svara. We'll see how satisfying it is, but we'll explain a little bit more. He says this rule of making sure your property doesn't damage others, that applies only where you have a method of doing it. Right? You have an ox. You're not allowed to let your ox damage anyone else's animals. So what do? You're allowed to have an ox, just build a fence big enough. Either they'll break through the fence, make a stronger fence. But you have a way of owning that property and protecting it so that it doesn't damage. That's when we have this halacha, make sure you don't damage anyone else. That's when the Torah says you have a chiyuv to watch it. But if it's something that you have no way of guarding it, I want to plant a tree. Well, you plant a tree in a way that it doesn't cause any damage. We know all trees, if it would be, right, this would be the way a tzar will be. If there's different ways of planting the tree, if you plant it in this direction, the roots go that way, you plant it in that direction, the roots go that way, so then they could say that halacha planted in the direction that there's no damage. But when you plant a tree, the roots go in all directions. There's no way to plant a tree without the roots traveling. So his lashon is, kiven de'efshar klal ba'asiyo v'shmira, since it's impossible to do it in a way that it could be guarded, v'bitol v'shus lo chirei rachmana, the Torah did not require someone to lose use of his property. If you have a yard, one of the things people do in yards is plant trees. If there's no way that you could plant a tree without it damaging next door, the Torah didn't require you to do that, because that's what Yossi holds. It's up to the Nizik to move his damaged property away from the damage that could be caused. That's the way the Nesivos puts it. Chazon Ish puts it in more hashkafic terms. He says, look, whenever you look, this is life. Life is when you have people living together, everyone has rights and obligations, but there's always cross purposes, there's always overlap, where what's good for me is bad for you, and what's good for you is bad for me. Right now, it's good for me to have a tree, it's bad for you, because you won't have a well. It's good for you to have a well, but it's bad for me if it prevents me from planting my tree. Right? That's the way life is. That's the teva, that neighbors end up getting in each other's way sometime. So whenever you have such a conflict, that's where Rav Yossi held that it's up to the Nizik to move out of the way, and the Matzik has the right to use his property the way he wanted. It says if you are using your property in a normal way, you have that right, even though eventually it could end up damaging your friend. Rav Spitz in his Mishpatei HaTorah explains it. I'm not sure if this won't come back to haunt us later on, this Svara, but the way he puts it is like this. When you buy a house, you know that there's a next door neighbor. Now when you buy your house, okay, you know you're going to dig a well in your house, but you know there's a next door neighbor who could very well plant the tree, and he has the right to plant the tree. So when you purchase property, you know that you're limited in your use because someone else might do something that might impinge upon something you want to do, and still you buy the property. So that's the way the world goes, that when you buy it, you know that there's certain things you won't be able to do. Right, you say you want to go and go swimming in your backyard. Yeah, but how can you do that? There's neighbors all around. So you're going to say, well, everyone has to move away or not be home at 2 and 4 in the afternoon when you go swimming. You know that there's certain limitations. You can't do anything you want in your yard. One of the things you have to know that you can't do is dig something in a way that will prevent your neighbor from using his yard in a natural way. So this is the halacha lemaisa. Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, that when there's a conflict between two neighbors, where one is doing something that could potentially damage the second neighbor, it's up to the second neighbor to move away and not become damaged, rather than forcing the first neighbor to refrain from that action that could cause the damage. That's the first halacha we learned tonight. There's another Gemara, which also helps the right of the mazik.
Suppose your neighbor plants something like a noxious, like poison ivy, and you close it to your yard.
Yeah, so...
Well,
it's
like a tree overhanging,
probably.
So what?
If I'm going to
get the tree overhanging...
Yeah,
noxious,
that
will
talk in
the
future.
Care of
yeah, if he's done something unusual, so then, that we'll talk about in the future. Here we're talking about a normal use of the field. In the future, we're still talking about it. He makes a lot of noise, he makes smells, he makes... that's going to be future week. Now we're talking about a natural use, a tree, planting a tree. There's another interesting Gemara. Shaila is, if I have a tree planted near someone's border and the roots are receiving nourishment from the next door neighbor, the roots are going next door. Now I want to take Bikurim and bring him to the Beit HaMikdash, and one of the things you say when you bring Bikurim is that, thank you Hashem for the land that you gave me, these are the fruits of my land. But can I say that if my fruits grew on my next door neighbor's land? So the Gemara brings one mandar, Ma'ula says you can't say that you can bring the Bikurim, but you can't read that pasuk because it's not really your land. But the Gemara concludes in Chav Zayin Amid Beis on the first side of the handout. Ki Asa Ravin, when Ravin came, Amar Rav Yochanan, he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Echad Ilan Hasamach LeMeitzar, whether the tree is close to the border, Ve'echad on the other side, Ve'echad Ilan HaNota, or whether the tree is extending over his property, maybe Bikurim, you could bring Bikurim from the tree's fruit and read the Psukim, even though my tree is receiving nourishment from the field or it's extending over the boundary of the other field, that doesn't make a difference. Shaman Naskein Hincha Yeshua Yisrael Esa Aretz. This is one of the conditions Yehoshua made when he gave out the portions of land in Eretz Yisrael. One of the rules he said is that it's okay to plant a tree even though it's going to receive nourishment from the yard next door. That's one of the 10 rules that Yeshua made. The Ramah says the halacha, there's really 10 conditions Yeshua made, and the Ramah says they all are halacha l'maisa in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. Even as a shayla, why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass in them, but the Torah passes them, the Rama passes them, and the Rama in Siman Reish Ayin Dal, it says that this halacha applies, which also helps this homeowner here if he wants to plant a tree. Look, you're saying my tree is encroaching on your yard, but Yeshua made a Tanai. He said that I'm allowed to plant a tree even though he receives nourishment from next door. It's such a good svara, the Rishon HaMeir, so then how can Rav Yossi and the Chachamim argue whether it's up to the Nizik to withdraw his plans or the Mazik to withdraw his plans? Why doesn't the Mazik say, look, Yeshua gave me the right to, for my tree to receive nourishment from your field, so I can plant my tree even though it's going to ruin your well too? What's the difference?
So, when Yeshua made this gzera, that's considered the Rabbanah?
Yeah, you have Takanas Chachamim. Right. His Bezdin. So he made this takana, so why do we have this machlokis about the case of the well? So I just, the Rudvaz, sorry, there are others, other Chirutzim. The Rudvaz says a simple answer. He says there's a difference between my tree receiving nourishment from next door. That doesn't damage you. Maybe your corn might not grow as nicely as if my tree wasn't, but in general, I'm not damaging you. Yeshua's takana applied only where there's no damage. The fact that it's receiving nourishment from your yard is okay, and I could still say the psukim that this is the land that you gave me. That's not called stealing. The Rashba says that's really the only issue, that it shouldn't be called stealing for this pasuk, but it has nothing to do with hezekim. But that's what the Rebbe says. That's where the takana was, that it's okay to receive nourishment because I'm not really damaging you.
Just like Zenon
is a chaser. Yeah, it's a little bit of a chaser, because in that case we would say, you know, even just a little Prutos called chaser, maybe there is chaser, but it's not a hezek. But when there's an actual damage, there Yeshua didn't necessarily make his takana. He just said, we don't care that you're receiving nourishment from the yard. But to say that you could go and ruin the well, that we don't see Yeshua did. So when it comes to damages, that's where we have a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi. And we pass on like Rabbi Yossi that even though there's actual damage happening next door, that's also okay. Right, so we have these two halachas that protect the homeowner who could potentially be damaging his next door neighbor. First of all, we have this takana of Yehoshua that I can plant something even though it's receiving nourishment from next door. That's halacha l'maisa, no one argues with that. If it causes damage, there we do have a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rav Yossi, but we paskin, fortunately, to the one who wants to plant the tree, we paskin that he's allowed to plant the tree, and it's the Nizik, it's the person receiving the damage who has to make arrangements that he doesn't have any loss caused to his property. And if it is, that's just tough. That's the way, like the Chazon Ish said, that's what happens when you live with neighbors. When you live with neighbors, there always has to be some give and take. And the Chachamim were misaking that I have the right to do whatever I want in my yard as long as it doesn't directly damage you, because the damage is going to come later. I don't have to refrain from engaging in that action. So that's the first half of the shiur. First half, we've seen clearly that I'm allowed to plant my tree in my yard, even though eventually it's going to cause damage to the next door neighbor. What type of damage? That lechora will be any of the cases we were talking about. Whether the damage is that the leaves are going to fall next door, whether the damage is that he's not going to build his sukkah because there's a tree overhanging, and you say, no, I want you to get rid of that tree. No, I can plant my tree. You can build a sukkah. That's your problem. You don't like the leaves there? Get rid of the leaves. Put bags there when, so they won't fall in your yard. Do something, put a net so the leaves don't fall in your yard. The sap is ruining the car, park your car somewhere else where the sap from my tree won't go onto your yard. But that's the first halacha we've seen.
Usually, these older big trees, coming from California, we didn't have such big trees, but here there's trees.
California has bigger trees.
In the local residential area, I've never seen trees that are this big, just the roots. And here, since we're responsible for sidewalks, if you want a sidewalk nicer, you got to replace your own sidewalk. And neighbors, and myself and other neighbors, these big roots that are tearing up sidewalks. But that, their child wants to ride their bike down the sidewalk, and my child wants to. At what stage does the damage become a point where?
Well, that's a different issue. First of all, we have to understand that if someone's sidewalk is dangerous, and they own that land, so they have responsibility to level the sidewalk. But otherwise, they have like a bar and a Rishos HaRav in there, so they have a responsibility to level the sidewalk. Now, if the sidewalk got ruined from the roots next door, so that could be another application of this halacha. Say, I don't want your tree here because your tree is ruining my sidewalk. Right, so I'll say, fix your sidewalk, and I'll give you. We're going to learn another eitzah right now, but I can't stop you from planting the tree because it will ruin my sidewalk. Just like I can't stop you from planting a tree because it'll ruin my well. So that's the good news that the landowner has, that you can't stop him from planting the tree even though it's going to cause eventual damage. Now, in future weeks, we're going to greatly limit this halacha. Just don't go home and start doing everything because that you didn't were scared to do because of your neighbor, because we said it's all in Izzaglach. We're going to greatly limit this halacha in future weeks, but we have to take step by step. And we're going to also limit it now a little bit and say that the Nizak does have some protection. That's based on the next two Mishnayos on the first page of the handout. The Mishnah on Chavavam and Alam says, Hoyu Sharashim Yotzim Asof Shachaveiro. Right, we said, I'm allowed to plant a tree that the roots go next door. Now, what happens if the roots are going into my next door neighbor's property, and he wants to plow his field, and he can't because those roots are there? Mamik Gimel Tfachim. The neighbor's allowed to dig down 3 tfachim into the ground, which is the normal amount that you plow, and he can dig down and get rid of all the roots which are within 3 tfachim of the top of the surface of the ground. So it won't prevent the plow, his plow, from digging. He decided he wanted to dig a well, a ditch, or something in his yard, and he sees there's roots from the next door neighbor's tree. Now, once again, we said you couldn't prevent the neighbor from planting the tree, but now I'm getting these roots. He's allowed to cut down as far as he wants to dig the well, and insult injury, he keeps the wood also. Right, so that's the first Mishnah. But even though we said you're allowed to plant the tree, and the roots are going to go next door, but if the next door needs to do something, he needs to do something in his yard where those roots are impinging upon his ability to work, so he has the right to remove the roots. And we all know that if you remove too many roots, it could hurt the tree also. We'll see that in a second. Let's just see another Mishnah for Nizik rights. Ilan Shuhunota Lustei Chadeiro. This isn't the shot where the roots are causing problem. Here it's a problem where the branches are hanging over the next door neighbor's yard, and he needs to plow, and it's in his way. Whenever he walks, these branches are hitting him. Kotseit Melo Hamardeya Agami Hamachereisha. He can cut off enough branches so that he's allowed to plow without the branches hitting his ox.
We assume that this is Rabbi Yossi, because he's basically saying he can do whatever he wants.
Right, this is according to Rabbi Yossi. He said you're allowed to plant the tree, right, or in certain cases everyone agrees that you can plant it, but this is a case where you're allowed to plant the tree and the roots are going next door, even though the roots are going next door, but the Nizik has the right to chop away the roots or chop down the branches that are impinging upon his use. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah says. Now, if you're medayik in the Mishnah, it's not a blank check. Right? It doesn't mean, I don't like the looks of the trees in my backyard. It just rankles me that his trees are going over there and I just want to go cut them down. Right? So that the Mishnah doesn't give a shush to do. It says, I'm plowing, or if I need to dig a well, so then I can go down further, but I can only cut away roots depending upon my need. Right, the tree's hanging over, how many branches can I cut off? Just enough to the height that my ox can go to when I'm plowing. Why don't we just say you could cut down whatever you want? It's the branches are in my yard. Why don't I have the right to cut down everything? But that's like we said, I have a right to plant a tree, which gives me also the right to have the roots go into your yard or the branches hanging over. You have the right to cut down whatever is bothering you, whatever is causing you any damage. But I mean bothering you meaning causing you damage, but if it just you don't like the idea of it, then you have no right to cut down those branches and those trees. Now, these halachos are paskin Shulchan Aruch. Let's see the other side, Simon Kufnun Hei, Chsif Chavav, Misha Hoya Ilan Chaver, Nokulas Yok Sadeyu. If the tree is hanging over the field, Kotzit Kolomar Deya, Agavim Machareisha, like the Mishnah we learned, you can cut down enough branches so the plow will go through. In the middle there, Hester. And then in Sif Lamed it says, Ruvain Shel Chafar Bar, Ruvain dug a well, V'yarei Domata Sharasha Ilan Shel Shimon Besof Sadeyu, and he sees that the roots of the tree, of Shimon's tree, are in the middle of his field. Kotzit V'chofri, he can go and dig away those roots, cut them off, V'haitim Shalom keeps the wood. Bim Eilu Tzarech Lach Barbar, but suppose he doesn't need to dig that well. V'yotza Sharashim Shel Shimon Besof Sadeyu, and the roots are going into his field. So then he has no right to go just dig down and cut them all out. All he could do is Hare Ma'av Mamik Shlosha Tzvachim. He can only go down three Tzvachim, Kedesh L'Yakav HaMachareisha, so that the plow won't be impeded from its work. He could cut off any root that's within those three Tzvachim. Ve'eino Choshesh Shema Yavesh Ilan Shachaveiro. And he doesn't have to be concerned that it's going to kill the friend's tree. Shezeh B'Sof Shalom V'Chofer, because you're digging in your yard. Now that bothers the Nesivos and all the Achronim. We spent the whole first half hour saying how I have a right to do whatever I want in the yard, so what is it going to eventually cause damage? But right now, I'm not causing any damage, I have the right to do that. What right do you have to go cut the roots and ruin my tree? That's by you cutting it, you're ruining my tree. And it's a double question, because first of all, what happened to Yeshua's Takana? Yeshua made a takana that I'm allowed to dig the tree and build and plant the tree even though the roots are going next door. And that's when it gets the nourishment. And even when it causes damage, Rav Yossi said, I have the right to knock out your well. What right do you have to knock out my tree? So the Nesivos here says the Svara is, by Takanas Yeshua, that's the way the takana was. The takana was, I'm allowed to receive nourishment from your field. But you have the right to stop that nourishment if you need the use of your field. That's the way the takana was made, even though it ends up causing damage. The way the Chazon Ish puts it, Rav Aaron, they say similar svaras, and it's really all based on the way the Chachamim looked at how we should treat this clash with neighbors. It's true that I have the right to plant my tree, even though it might potentially, eventually, cause damage to something in your yard. But the Chachamim also said you have the right to protect your property. And one of the ways you can protect it is by stopping the roots from coming into your yard. By doing that, it's going to kill the tree eventually. That's also, you know, it's not a complete immediate hazard. It'll happen later on. It might cause damage. The tree might die. It might not die. But you have that right to do that. Even if you know the tree's going to die, right now you have the use of your yard. The tables are turned now. Right, the tables are turned now. Right now you might be the mazik, and he's the nizik, but except here you're doing it the odayim. That's why it's not really the same halacha. But the chachamim's takana to allow the mazik to plant his tree and go, even though it might cause some damage in the next yard, is limited to my rights to prevent that damage, even though it might hurt your tree at the end also. So let's go through the cases that we have that we spoke about and work out both of these sides, how it works. The Shulchan Aruch brings a halacha from the Tur, who quotes the Gaonim, very similar to our case of the Sukkah. Reuven had planted a fig tree which was reaching over to Shimon, to Levi. I don't know how to Shimon, but in his case it was reaching into Levi's yard. And Levi wanted to build an addition. He wanted to put a second floor on his house, and he couldn't because this fig tree was reaching over right into his yard. It was stopping him from fixing his roof over there. So the halacha is that Levi is allowed to cut off those branches that are stopping him from working on his house. But that's what the Torah says. It's an extension of these halachas. Just like we saw, you could break roots that are impeding upon your property. You can also knock down branches that are preventing the plowing. Those are normal things you always do. But maybe you'd say, who tells you to start making an addition on your house or making your roof in a way that is going to impede his tree? But halacha is, if you decide that you want to do something to your house, so you're allowed to do that. The way the Sma quotes the Torah, Reuben can't tell Levi, who tells you to raise your building? Leave the building the same height, then my tree won't be in your way. The halacha is, if anything you decide that you want to do in your yard, you have the right to cut away the branches or the roots that are coming inside, even though it might cause damage to that tree. From this halacha, the Mishkan Shalom, this big sefer here, says it's a clear halacha to this case in Lakewood, where the person wanted to build his sukkah, but there was trees reaching over. So can he force the neighbor to cut down the tree or incur the expenses of cutting down the branches because you're damaging my use of my field? Of course not, because the rule is it's up to the nizik to find an eitzah. The mazik doesn't have to, he didn't do anything wrong. He planted a tree, so what? It causes eventual damage. But does he have to move somewhere else for sukkahs because he can't build a sukkah? No. He has the right to say, look, I want to build a sukkah here. Just like I want to build an extension on my house, I could cut down those branches. I want to build a sukkah. I can also cut down the branches that are preventing me from building that sukkah. Now, I can't just cut them down because I don't like them. Or if I'm building the sukkah over here, I can't cut down the branches over there while I'm at it. I can only cut down the branches I need for my sukkah.
Does he have to explain to the mazik that he's only cutting it to a certain point and the reasons why he's cutting it?
Does he have to explain that?
Do you just go up there and just...
I'd be nice if he explains it. I would recommend explaining it before you do it, but the halacha is, these are your... In Chosh and Mishma, these are your rights. You have the right to cut it down. How you deal with your neighbors, that's... You should...
The mazik at the time of the Mishma.
The mazik,
if he doesn't do it for that reason, the mazik will back to him. So
right. Yeah, if you're cutting it down for another reason, for not a good reason, so then you have to pay me damages. You have to pay me. You whatever my tree is worth less now, you have to pay me for that, right? Yeah. But what you're saying is that's just human relations, Shiloh. So I would advise you to tell them before you do it, so you shouldn't get scared. You're knocking down the whole thing. Okay, so that's a sukkah with the leaves. The Mishpat HaTorah, Rav Spitz says, based on what we said, I certainly can't stop you from planting a tree, or certainly if the tree's there, I can't force you to rake my leaves. Right? That you planted your tree, this damage happened in Mela. It's not something that I didn't blow the, I didn't have a, if I have a leaf blower and I blow them into your yard, so then you can have a tiny, because what do you put all this mess in my yard? But if it comes from my tree on its own, you can't force me to cut down the tree. You can't charge me for damages. It's your job to get rid of the hezek. So that'll be a simple halacha. There, I don't think there's anything you can do to prevent it. You just have to get rid of the leaves. The same thing will be with the sap that's coming down. Just make sure you park your car somewhere else. Or if the tree is really going into your yard, so then you'd have the right to cut down that branch of the tree that's impeding upon your car.
Possibly
now.
And he wants to eat the apples, but the apples are falling into your yard, making a mess. He claims he makes the nasa, whatever, he eats the apples, he makes apple cake.
Okay, so we'll have to talk about that there is a whole machlokas who owns the apples that are hanging over. Right? Do we say, well, not only do you have the right to keep the branch... Yeah, that's if you have a reason to cut it down. But since you don't have a reason to cut it down. And it's just, the leaves are falling and the apples are falling. Can you come and say, look, I want to get my apples... No, so to get the leaves right there, no, not the leaves, that's your problem, but the apples are mine. Right, so that we can talk about. Right, so that we'll talk about, not next time, but the time after Bli Nedar. Right, so that's how halachas we come out with, that it has to, once again, it has to be a real hezek. The fact that the leaves bother me as if it costs me money, and there's a way of cutting down a branch that'll stop those leaves from falling, so then it could be I could cut down a branch, but practically speaking, I don't think there's anything you could do. Like, the tree's throwing leaves, it won't make a difference if the branch is hanging over or the leaves are coming from the next door. I don't think cutting down a branch will help over there. And halacha is, he can have his tree, even though the leaves are going to blow over into that yard. The sap might be a case where, if it's really something that causes damage, you have to go to car washes. It's not so then you would have the right to cut down that branch that's hanging over your yard, possibly. another case the post can say is if the tree, like there's a branch going right by your window, and you can't see out, it's dark because the branch is going straight out the window. So that's a real reason for cutting down that branch of the tree. But if it's just because you don't like it, it rankles you. What right do you have that, you know, I look at my yard and I see the tree hanging over there. We know she's using my yard. So that's what hopefully this year accomplished, that he has that right to use your airspace because he's not causing you any damage that you could prevent by cutting off those branches. And you really have no head to get rid of them. And he has the right to have that tree there. Next week, Linether, we'll talk about what happens if the branches are hanging over public property. First, do you have a responsibility to stop your branches from impeding the flow of traffic, of people walking by, or your edges are sticking out? How far, what Smith Avenue say, how much responsibility do you have? That we'll talk about Linether next week.